Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth, keeping an eye on this reconciliation bill. I know we've been talking about it for months now. However, it is the single most important piece of legislation that we are going to see this year. So we're going to see where it stands in the process with Scott Parkinson from the Club for Growth. Scott, as always, good to have you here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, Scott, as I mentioned, this is a very important bill. It's something that the president wants very much to see get done, and not quite sure when it's going to get over the finish line, but fill us in. There's been some progress in the House in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, the big news is that recently, eight of the House committees that were instructed to have either deficit reduction targets or small spending increases completed their work. And this next week, we are expecting the Energy and Commerce Committee to mark up their portion of the One Big Beautiful Bill. And once that's completed, you'll see the House Ways and Means Committee move quickly, because what the Energy and Commerce Committee needs to determine is whether or not there are going to be major reforms or minimal reforms to the Medicaid program to sort of hit their deficit reduction targets. And, you know, people hear deficit reduction and Medicaid. These are not what we would consider cuts to benefits, cuts to people that really need the Medicaid program. If you recall, way back in 2009, House Democrats led by Nancy Pelosi talked about increasing coverage in health insurance and health care. And the idea was, through Obamacare, to try to open up these federal exchanges where people could purchase health insurance through Obamacare and really get coverage. But the reality is that coverage did not notably increase through the Obamacare exchanges. Instead, the secondary portion of Obamacare included the option for states to expand their Medicaid population and for those costs to be largely borne on the federal government. And so you have basically what's a federal match, and that's a percentage of how much the federal government is going to pay for Medicaid in the states compared to the state. And there's this 90-10 ratio for the expansion population, where really, some states are obviously having to take on more costs when it comes to dollars, but not when it comes to the percentage, because of the number of people that are pushed into the Medicaid expansion population. And these aren't the vulnerable. These aren't, single mothers with children, people in poverty, that are unable to work, that need to be protected. We are talking about what are known as able-bodied individuals. And these are the folks that are in their mid-20s and are somehow becoming eligible to take advantage of the Medicaid program. So I think that the Energy and Commerce Committee next week is really going to have to resolve what sort of bold reforms they are interested in taking on in order to provide for some deficit reduction. And, you got to also keep in mind, it's not just Obamacare Medicaid expansion. Joe Biden expanded eligibility rules, which made it even more difficult for states to remove ineligible enrollees. And, there's $160 billion in savings right there just from the way that Joe Biden made it so more people would be eligible for Medicaid. So this is a big, big question. I know that there's a lot of moderates out there. Some people might call them a rhino, but they are a big part of the Republican conference, and they are incredibly nervous about reforming Medicaid because they care more about their reelection than they do about the future of the Medicaid program and protecting that vulnerable population. And quite honestly, they feel like that Medicaid expansion population is critical to their own reelection.
As this works its way through the House, give us a roadmap here, Scott, of what's going to happen next. Where does it go to from here, and what does it take to get it over the finish line?
Yeah, well, the finish line is obviously getting closer and closer day by day. I'm confident in the ability of our Republican majorities in the House and Senate to complete One Big Beautiful Bill. I want to be crystal clear with that. So next week, we are expecting that that Energy and Commerce House Committee to mark up their bill. Then you'll have the House Ways and Means Committee. Then everything gets tied together by the House Budget Committee, and it should hit the floor the week of May 19th. And, you know, that's a big, big, ambitious goal, right? You want to, the House of Representatives want to complete their work in advance of the Memorial Day break, and Memorial Day is May 26th. So we'll see if they can complete it. If they can't, I think that they would come back and really try to move this along as quickly as possible. You know, the debt limit is an option to include in the reconciliation package. It's not a necessity, you know, or a total requirement. But the good news is that right now Treasury has roughly $100 billion in resources before you would breach the debt limit. And then on June 15th, there are corporate revenues that are expected to come in due to the filing requirements for corporations. And then there's additional extraordinary measures that become available at the end of June. So really, we think that we have the opportunity to push back the debt limit increase, but it's often used as a political wedge to help speed things along in Washington, D.C. with Congress.
What are they looking at, Scott, as sort of the final deadline? When do they expect to actually get this one big, beautiful bill to the president's desk?
Well, once the House passes it, and let's say that they do pass it by May 23rd, it'll go over to the United States Senate. And the Senate is the legislative body where reconciliation actually matters, because there's a thing known as privilege, and the way that each provision gets adjudicated via various points of order, because they need to deal with revenues, spending, or the debt limit. And if it's more policy in nature, that referee in the Senate, the parliamentarian, can rule provisions out of order, and they could fall out of the bill altogether. If the bill changes at all, and I promise you that it will, it'll pass the Senate, and then it would have to go back to the House of Representatives for final passage. It's a convoluted, complicated process, but we're excited for the opportunity ahead to ultimately reduce spending, reduce the deficit, and cut taxes in a big, big way.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
Club for Growth is an organization that's united in the idea of economic opportunity and liberty and free enterprise. And tax policy is a big part of that. If you want to learn more about the club, you can check us out at clubforgrowth.org.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, we'll continue keeping an eye on this process next week. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.